Let's remain standing, please, and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, please. While you're turning there, we want to acknowledge our veterans. If you served in any of our armed forces, would you just raise your hand, please? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to see you. And would you tell us service or what branch of service you served in? Sam, would you start?
U.S. Army.
Brother Crook?
U.S. Army.
U.S. Army. Yes, sir. Brother Vascar?
U.S. Air Force.
U.S. Air Force. Brother Lansdale?
U.S. Army.
Anybody else?
Brother Hunt.
Brother Hunt, yes, sir.
U.S. Air Force.
U.S. Air Force. We got to get some Marines in this place. And, well, the Army outnumbers the Air Force, but the Air Force can drop bombs from way up there, you know, so I think they'll probably be okay. We appreciate our veterans.
Yeah.
We acknowledge on Memorial Day those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, but on Veterans Day, those who've served. And I love our country, don't you? And I love first responders, law enforcement, and military who have traveled, who have made great sacrifices, some of them tremendous. And I thank God. Thank you, man. And I don't think it would hurt to give a round of applause to them for serving our country. And after the service, we're going to do something special for you. See Brother Crook, he's going to take you all out to eat somewhere and everything. And so he'll do, he's buying. So makes me wish I had served, but what's that? Oh. Not Air Force either. Okay. Let's look in our Bibles now. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I pray that you would clearly define to us biblical faith and how to increase it, how to receive it. Lord, we've spoken recently about how to walk by faith. And we made it clear that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And while faith is something that's unseen, it still is substance and it still is evidence. And Lord, I pray that you'd help folks today. Help us all to go deeper in our faith. To go deeper in our trust in you. And Lord, help us to not have faith in faith, but to have faith in God. And to understand the difference. And that by faith in God, all things are possible. We can say to this tree, or we can say to this mountain, be ye moved yonder, and it will be moved. And how not only do you bless faith, but you bless even little faith. And Lord, as the Father cried out, Dear Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Help us in our areas of weakness where we struggle believing. Meet our needs today. Help us to go deeper in our understanding and deeper in our commitment and trust in you. with our faith. In thy name I pray, amen. When the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians is sharing in chapter 6 the armor of God, he speaks about each piece of armor, and he says, above all, take the shield of faith, that you might quench the fiery darts of the evil one. And faith is the greatest asset a Christian can have. Now, faith is the medium of exchange with God. We have mediums of exchange. And with God, that medium would be faith. In this message, we're going to explore what faith is and what a Christian can do to develop more faith or to go deeper in your faith. Now, I don't know what you'll accomplish in your life, but I know the yardstick that will be used to measure your accomplishments will be faith. The Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so understand, it's not according to our fame. It's not according to our future. It's not according to our friends. It's not according to our feelings. It's not according to our fate. It's according to our faith. Faith be it unto you. So faith is the medium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven. When you go to the store to purchase something, the medium of exchange would be dollars, would be money. But when you go to God, the medium of exchange requires faith. So someone said faith is the greatest asset you have, and unbelief is your greatest liability. Understand. It was unbelief that caused Eve to sin against God. It was unbelief that kept Israel in the promise or away from the promised land. It was unbelief that led the rejection of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the sin of unbelief that sends people to hell. It's not murder. It's not perversion. It's not lying. It is unbelief. There's not a murderer who can't have his sins forgiven. There's not a homosexual who cannot have his sins forgiven. There's not any sin that Jesus did not pay for on the cross of Calvary. Not one. So Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for all our sins. Unbelief is the sin that sends people to a devil's hell. Now in John chapter 3 verse 18, Jesus says, he that believeth on him, or the Bible says, he that believeth on him, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Unbelief shuts the door to heaven. If you can believe in God, all things are possible, but if you do not believe, then nothing is possible. A few thoughts about faith this morning. First of all, notice the reality of biblical faith. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I better get some water. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Someone casually says to you, just have faith. You know, my mother's 86 years old. And she had this enormous blockage. The doctor says it was a large tumor, and they were hoping it was confined and wasn't penetrating through the wall of the colon and attaching itself to other organs in her body. And there's those who would consider, well, just have faith. Just have faith. Just keep the faith. Just have faith. Everything will turn out okay. Well, when someone says, just have faith, my question is, faith in what? Faith in what? I have some faith in the practicing physicians, but I sure am glad I know the great physician. Just understand, there's no power in faith alone. Well, he has faith. He's a man of faith. He keeps the faith. There's no power in faith alone. Faith isn't some kind of magic spell that will accomplish things just because we claim to believe. Listen, your faith is no better than its object. Misplaced faith is a dangerous thing. It isn't your faith that moves mountains. It is God who moves mountains because you have faith in him. The reality of biblical faith is that we believe on him. We believe in Jesus. And when we keep the faith, we have faith, but we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God. Now, many people think that, faith is simply positive thinking. That's been appropriated. That's been preached for years. You know, there's this concept many, many years ago when I was just a young man, something good is going to happen to you today, you know. And if you think positive, good things are going to happen. How many of you ever heard that? You don't find that. You know, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, you know. You know, you can be a blood-washed, walking with God, child of God, you know, some bad things happen. So we need to understand that positive thinking, that's not the key. If your faith is just merely positive thinking, you're going to get discouraged because you're going to face a situation that will overcome your abilities to think positive. You ever gotten there? I've been sometimes where I've been real negative, you know. I think that I'm a pretty much positive person. I think that I am. I think my cup is, for the most part, it's half full instead of half empty. I wake up early. I'm ready to take the day on. I'm happy. I'm a happy camper most of the time. I think I'm pretty positive. But I don't have enough positive energy to get me through the nasty now. And if you think that faith is just thinking positive, you're going to turn cynical. You're going to realize that you don't have enough positive energy to face the problems of life, and you're going to become disillusioned and disappointed. You see, if you put faith in faith, then you become a setting duck for the devil. Satan will remind you that you're not good enough to be saved. And you know what? He's right. There's not one good thing about us. There's none good, no, not one. Satan, he'll point out our weaknesses. He'll point out the weaknesses in our marriage. He'll point out the weaknesses in our family. He'll point out the weaknesses in our church. The devil will even accuse us of having weak faith in God. Now, Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who do we look to in our faith? We don't put faith in faith. We put faith in God. Jesus, he's the author, he's the finisher of our faith. That's who we look into, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, don't look at yourself, look at Jesus. Don't have faith in faith, have faith in God. Weak faith in the right object is better than strong faith in the wrong object. You understand that? See, God honors even weak faith. God honors little faith, which is why so many of us have grown to walk with God, to walk with Christ. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. This is a story about the man who brings his son, who has a demon in him, a demon-possessed boy, to Jesus and asks him to heal him. In verse 24, of Mark 9, the Bible says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. The father was saying, I have faith, but my faith is weak. And I want to tell you something. God honors little faith. God honors weak faith. Aren't you glad that he does? You see, at least this father had enough faith to bring him to the right object. He didn't take him to the Pope. You know, he didn't have him go get sprinkled. He brought him to Jesus because he knew Jesus was working miracles. Matthew 17, verse 20, and Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus said that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, have you seen how small that is? You could say to a mountain, move, and it would move itself. Now God can do great things even with small faith. I think sometimes we have a big burden, but our faith is weak and our faith is small. But I want to tell you something. Your small faith activates the power of God in your life. If you want great faith, you need to find out who God is. Our faith grows when we find out who God is. In Psalm 9, verse 10, the Bible says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee." It says, "They that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." So you see, it's important to know our God. Now, the Bible tells us the remarkable history of how God has been at work in the lives of man in faith. Let me ask you, anyone too cool? It's too cold in here. Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Let me see hands real good. Anybody cold? Okay, let's turn a little bit of heat on. Somebody help me with that if you can. I'm cool up here, and I know if I'm cool up here, you're freezing down there. Okay. Anybody hot? If you who are hot would change places with those who are cold, maybe it'll balance itself out for us and everything. Just turn a little bit of heat on over there and let's warm these people up. We're not reptiles, amen? We need some heat. So, sorry for the interruption, but I want you to be comfortable. So, you know, God has done great things to arrange for the redemption of mankind. The Bible tells us of this history, how God has been at work in the lives of men. He has miraculously moved at times to see to it that his message of redemption, his message of salvation was delivered. If you want to develop great faith, get to know God. Paul said after missionary journeys, Paul said after being stoned and brought back to life, Paul said after being thrown into prison, that I might know him. Amen. Do you know him? Now, there's some people who know of him and have heard of him and do not know him, and they're lost. But there's some of us who have received him, and we do know him, and he knows us. He knows his sheep, and we know our shepherd. But your faith, the depth of your faith is determined by how well you know him. There's a story of a man who was walking across the frozen Mississippi River, and he started off on the thick ice, but soon he got farther away from shore, farther and farther and farther away, and he began to doubt the strength of the ice, and he was concerned about falling through and perishing, so he decided to turn back, and he was afraid the ice was going to crack underneath his weight, and he began to panic about it. He began to get on his belly and to slowly crawl on his hands and his knees to where he could be safe, and all of a sudden he heard this great roar, and he's thinking the ice is beginning to crack up around him. He fell on his face, and he began to cry out and to pray to God for deliverance. But then, just roaring past him was a man leading a team of horses, pulling a load of logs across the ice. And when he saw that the man jumped up and finished his stroll across the river never changed during his walk. But the man's faith did. And the only real way between these two men is that one, he knew full well strength of the ice, and the other did not. And if you want something bold, if you want to do something bold on the river, you must know the ice. And if you want to do something bold for God, you must know the Lord. You need to know who he is. I don't know everything about the Lord. I know he's omnipresent. He's omnificent. I know these things. He's all powerful. He can be everywhere at the same time. I know these things. I know a lot about him, but I don't know everything about the Lord. But it's the things that I do know that I know I can trust in him. I know that. So we see the reality of biblical faith. And then notice, secondly, the root of biblical faith. Biblical faith is rooted in knowing God and communicating with him. Romans 10, verse 14 says, How then shall we call on him in whom they have not heard? Or how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, or have not believed, rather? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, biblical faith is rooted in knowing God and communicating with God. You see, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In order for us to have faith and our faith to grow, we must hear from God. We have to hear from God. Now, it's good to hear from our mama. It's good to hear from our daddy. It's good to hear from our brother. It's good to hear from the preacher. It's good to hear from other friends. But I tell you what, we got to hear from God. And if you ever step out on faith in a point where you know you're out here, I mean, you're out there by faith, it's evidence and substance, but it's things not seen, then you're standing on principle, you're standing on promises of God's word, and you're waiting on the Lord to come. You cannot know his will by guessing at it. God doesn't want you to guess his will. God wants to reveal his will to you. And listen to me, if you'll do his will, he'll reveal it. But if you're not going to do his will, if you think it's a smorgasbord and you get to pick and choose, he's not going to reveal it to you if you're not going to do it. We should understand that faith comes according to the scriptures. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We don't generate faith. We don't generate our own faith. I'm going to build up my faith. I'm bowling my faith up here. No. Faith comes because God gives faith. It's a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith, but that faith is not our own. That faith is a gift from God. It's not our faith, it's God's faith that he gives to us. Faith is a gift. And no one can believe God unless the Lord enables him to believe, and he communicates to him through his word. The atheists or the agnostic, I don't really believe in those. I think they're just people who are disappointed in God. But if they'd read the Bible and get to know God, their faith would increase. I've seen it. I've seen it take place. Faith comes by hearing the Lord, and we hear him through his word. Now, Ephesians 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's something we can't see it. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. I've often said that walking by faith is like wearing a miner's hat. You have a light up there. It's pitch dark in the mine. You're under the earth, but your hat shows a beam of 25 feet. And when we get saved, we have so many footage of light. And God wants us to walk in the light that he's supplied. But as we walk and take those steps in that faith, and we're walking in the light that we've got, thank God we're rejoicing and we're growing our grace. And we reach the end of that 25 feet of light of faith. Guess what? We got 25 feet more of faith now. We're growing in our faith. When God speaks to us, God says, run something out in front of us, and we say, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that. Listen to me. Your faith stops right there. It's a walk with God. And it's something that's important that we walk with him, and that we have our faith, and our faith grows in him. So faith is the substance of things. Now faith is what we hope for. It's the substance of things hoped for. But unfortunately, our culture has tarnished this word hope. We think about hope today. It's like, boy, I hope I get to go to the zoo. I hope I get ice cream. Boy, I hope I get the promotion. I hope I get that job. Hope in the Bible means an assurance based on the promise of God. It's a no-so hope secured in Jesus. It's not a hope like I'm rolling the dice. I hope I get a 7. I don't know anything about gambling, but I think that's a good number, I think. I hope I get a 7. In the Bible, it's a number of perfection and completion, so it must be. It's not chance. Hope in the Bible is not chance. I hope we get to go to the zoo. It's a hope. It's an assurance that's mixed with anticipation because it's a promise from God. We have this blessed hope. The blessed hope is what the Bible refers to as a second coming. So hope in the Bible means an assurance based on the promises of God. Hope is assurance mixed with anticipation. We know he's coming back. Why do we know that? How do we know that? Because he said so. Because he said so. You got any proof? Yes. He said so. That's right. You see, our faith has substance because it is based on the things God has said, not conjuring up our own faith. I think some people have decided to walk away from God because they have faith in themselves. They have faith in their intellect. You know, these people who have faith in their intellect, they think they're so smart. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but let me just help you. If you don't believe in God, you're a doofus. You're a real dum-dum, you dodo. You know, the naked savage out in the, not a personal reference to me, but, you know, the naked savage out in the jungle of New Guinea looks out and he sees the creation of the world and knows there's a creator. He's smart enough to know that. He knows that this came from somewhere. Our faith has substance because it's based on the things God has said, the promises of God. Now, the root of our faith, what is the root of our faith? It's the Word of God. And that's why we've got to be in it. I want to tell you something. There's not a book on the face of this earth more precious than what you've got in your lap. It's important to understand that there's two different Greek words for the word, word. There's logos, and logos means the written word. And then there's rhema, and rhema means the spoken word. And John calls Jesus the logos, which is the revelation of God given to man. So the message you get from God as you read the Bible is the rhema, the small utterance that encourages you to put his word into practice. So you're praying and God puts a message in your heart. That is the rhema. It's the spoken word. And if you're already reading his word, if you're already listening to his voice, you will hear him. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The root of faith is hearing the word of God. Our faith is increased. Let me tell you, I've been in so many classrooms over the years. I've been in two different universities, and I have attended Bible classes, and I've had advanced theology, and I've been there. But I want to tell you something. I've learned more sitting in a church pew than I did anywhere. Something about proclaiming the word of God, preaching the word of God. You see, the root of faith is hearing from God. If you don't spend time communicating with him, you won't develop your faith. You see, you've got to know the ice. And when you know the ice, you will jump up and down on it. Why? Because he gives you his word, which is a promise. You can stand on this. Lastly, notice the results of biblical faith. We've looked at the reality of biblical faith. We looked at the root of biblical faith. Notice the results of biblical faith. The results of faith is the will of God being accomplished. Now, this is something you need to see. If you just have faith, you'll have $1 million. If you just have faith, you'll get a mansion. If you just have faith, you'll get that Ferrari. Or, you know, can I tell you? As you communicate with the Lord, you'll hear him tell you the will of God. When he speaks, he will speak, this is what I want you to do. Now, I want to tell you, when I pray to God, when I talk to God, God gives me green and red lights. I just know. He just, You know, I know I'm saved. If you know you're saved, say amen. You know that, right? All right. I know I'm called to preach. I feel the same way about being called to preach as you do about feeling saved. And I will tell you that when I ask God, do I go to New Guinea or do I stay in Jackson, Tennessee? God tells me, and I have the same know about that as I do about being saved and about being called to preach. Listen, I know I'm supposed to marry this lady here. We'll celebrate this month, 41 years. 41 years of bliss of living with me. 41 years of being a pastor's wife and living in tranquility and life being a rose garden. We've been blessed, and that is the truth. I didn't roll the dice and say, okay, I think I'll give her a try. I had to know. And I knew she was the one for me, as well as I knew I was saved, as well as I knew I was called to preach. I get green lights. I had a few others that were in there that were the red lights. Lord, is she the one? God said, uh-uh. What should I do, God? Run, son, run. You heard about the guys called to preach, and he met this woman, and man, she could sing. Man, she could sing a storm up a boy. She was tore up ugly. He says, you know, looks don't matter. Looks are shallow. All that matters is that she can sing for God. And they got married, and the first morning after their honeymoon, he looked at her and saw her and said, sing, baby, sing. That's an old one. Now, there's a result of biblical faith. The result of faith is the will of God being accomplished. See, we think, listen to me, we think the results of faith is us getting what we want. No. No. You see. See, you could have faith that you know that winning the lottery number, but unless it's the will of God is for you went to win the lottery, it's useless. This keeps God in control. Now, someone said this. This is important. Faith is not getting your will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. That's what faith is. Well, if I have deep faith, if I grow deep in my faith, then I'm going to have faith, and I want to get the cottage by the seashore or by the lake, and I want to get the bass boat, and I'm going to get the job, and I'm going to get the promotion, and I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. Can I tell you something? It's not about you. It's about God. God wants to accomplish his will. And there are people who say, well, I had faith, and what I wanted didn't happen. That's because God didn't want it. God's not concerned for you. He's concerned about getting his will done, not about your agenda. It's his agenda. Obviously, he's concerned. He loves you. The result of your biblical faith is that God's will gets done. And when that happens, you know what happens to you? It grows and releases more faith in your life. Faith does not, or does more, faith does more than just simply believe. Faith does more than just believe. Have faith, you believe, I believe. Can I tell you something else faith does? Faith obeys. Abraham believed God, but he obeyed and took Isaac up to sacrifice him. Right? Faith does more than just believe. Faith obeys. And if what you believe doesn't translate into the action of obedience, you don't really believe it. Someone says faith is belief with legs on. Romans 10, look at it, verse 15 and 16. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Some people have heard the truth, but they have never really done anything about it. They simply don't obey. There's some things that make you a believer. When I was a kid, I had a real bad habit of sticking car keys into openings. Always did. And there was a little dresser that was in a bedroom. I remember I was real small, and I would stick it in the drawer, in the corner of the drawer, and I would turn that key, turn it, and that drawer would pop up and down. Finally, I just bore a hole in it. One day, I stuck it in a receptacle. I remember it quite well. I think I was more than 3 years old. It blew me across the room. I only did it once because I'm not stupid. My parents says, don't do that anymore. I said, no, I won't do that. I'm a believer. See, some people, they've heard the truth, but they never really have done anything about it. They simply don't believe. God made himself plain to them. He's revealed himself to them, and they chose not to follow him. It's their choice. Romans 10:21. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient, and look, gainsaying people. The word gainsaying means stubborn. You're a disobedient and stubborn people. These are people who want to debate the gospel. People who want to debate, this God, is he real? People who want to debate, are the scriptures authentic? Is it really the word of God? These are stubborn, disobedient people. They debate the gospel. They discuss the good news, but they disobey the clear calls of God. Now, child of God, you must release your faith. How do we release our faith? By obedience. For instance, you made $100 this week. You made more than that, but you made $100 this week. God says the tithe is a tenth. So $10 of that is God's money. Are you with me? Two of us are. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Bring your tithe to the storehouse. What's the storehouse? It's the church. And God says he gives you 100. 10% is the tithe, the tenth tithe. Bring it to the storehouse. And then give an offering. The offering is what God puts on your heart. Don't second guess the Holy Spirit. And you say, I believe in tithing. Well, your giving record shows your obedience to that in reference to your income, your gross income. There's a lot of other areas I could talk about, but that's the easiest thing. We all understand this quite well. You know, if God says, I want you to go to New Guinea as a missionary, and you have faith to go. I have faith to go, but you don't go. You really don't have faith because you haven't been obedient in going. And the way we grow in our faith is to know who our Maker is and to walk in obedience when he tells us to do something. Now, I never can understand this. Why would I be afraid to go to China? Why would I be afraid to go to New Guinea? Why would I be afraid to trust in him when I've entrusted him my never-dying soul into him? Does that make sense to you? I can't trust him with my tithe and offering, but I can trust him with my never-dying soul. Let me tell you something. If he can take care of my soul, he can take care of everything else. Put your faith into practice. Your faith will be released when you show God you believe him by obeying his word, and that will result in him using you for his eternal purpose on earth. Not to accomplish all your agenda, but to accomplish his. God's people said. Would you stand with me?